Welcome to Dateline RIT with Mike Safran.
Dateline RIT, October 11, 2007. Radically different job markets for entry-level versus mid-career workers in technology fields in the United States was highlighted in a recent article in Computer World titled Tech Grads Get Higher Salary Offers, but Existing Workers May Face Job Perils. RIT public policy professor and job outsourcing expert Ron Hira says the market for new graduates in IT-related fields has indeed improved for entry-level workers on account of fewer graduates and an improving industry. But it's a different story for mid-career employees, in part due to outsourcing.
This is a very uneven labor market in technology. You're seeing the entry-level folks doing quite well. At the mid-career level, things are a lot more rocky and much more uncertain. You've got major announcements of layoffs and certainly much more fear about job security as companies continue to ratchet up their workforce capacity in low-cost countries.
So are the layoffs affecting mostly U.S.-based workers?
Yeah, most of the layoffs, and of course there are all kinds of euphemisms used for layoffs, sometimes called restructuring or rebalancing or right-sizing, as we heard in the early 90s. Almost all of the downsizing or layoffs are done in high-cost countries like the U.S., and the growth has been mostly abroad.
You were also recently quoted in a story in IEEE Spectrum about the firm Nokia outsourcing research and development to IBM in Germany. But we don't typically think of a country such as Germany as benefiting from outsourcing. Or do we?
The term outsourcing does not necessarily mean that you're moving jobs overseas. What you're doing is moving jobs from one company to another. So it's basically Nokia deciding instead of making it themselves, they're going to outsource or buy from a vendor, in this case IBM, its R&D services. And if you think about it, we do this all the time. We decide either to cook dinner ourselves or to outsource it, to buy it from a restaurant. When you talk about offshore outsourcing, that's when you're talking about actually shifting the job to another company in a low-cost country overseas. This is oftentimes what companies do. Rather than take the public relations hit by shifting work themselves, what they'll do is they'll outsource a division or a department to another company and allow them to then go ahead and shift the work around the globe. This is a pretty common practice that the outsourcing then leads to offshore outsourcing or offshoring. The other odd thing about this is that we've been told by management gurus for a while that you outsource everything but your core competency. And what's interesting about this is that what Nokia is basically saying is that R&D, research and development, is not part of its core competency. And that's a bit odd, because you would think that research and development would be part of any company's core competency, and they wouldn't be outsourcing it.
That's RIT public policy professor Ron Hira, author of the book Outsourcing America. Staying with RIT's Department of Public Policy, professor and department chair James Weinbrake is in the news as the recipient of a $350,000 grant from the National Park Service to study environmental quality and energy use in national parks. Dr. Weinbrake, in what type of work will you and students be engaged?
A common one are typical energy audits, where we have a team of students and often faculty that go into national park buildings and conduct energy audits. A second major project area is renewable energy. Students will maybe design solar energy systems or wind turbine systems or other types of renewable energy systems for the national parks. The third type of project that is often done is data collection and data analysis related. For example, looking at a national park's energy bills and trying to evaluate where savings may be obtained. The overall goal is to try to get parks operating more efficiently so they can save taxpayer dollars, and also to give the students an opportunity to learn something about the energy field and become good energy managers.
Why study national parks?
Well, parks have a lot of unique aspects that we don't see in typical commercial or institutional buildings. For example, a lot of national park buildings are historic in nature, and so they have very complex climate control issues, lighting issues, and the building structures themselves could be, in some cases, 100, 150, 200 years old. So we have to be careful when we go into a facility at a national park to maintain the historic nature of those parks. Second area that makes parks different is they're designed to be visited by the public. And so there's a lot of traffic in these parks. And in fact, that's a good thing for our program, because what we try to do is educate the public about some of the energy efficiency and renewable energy activities that are going on at the park. benchmark so that the public may take that information home and start to do best practices in their own lives.
That's RIT Science, Technology, and Society Public Policy Professor James Weinberg. On the RIT campus this week, Chief Communications Officer Bob Finnerty introduces us to a new campus emergency alert system, and News and Events Managing Editor Vienna Carvalho has highlights from the latest issue.
This is Bob Finnerty. RIT Alert, the university's new rapid emergency mass notification system, will soon be ready for testing. In the event of a campus emergency, RIT Alert will send urgent messages to faculty, staff, and students via instant message, text message to mobile devices, voice message, and email. RIT will soon be sending out instructions on providing contact information for RIT Alert. RIT Alert will be used during the following scenarios: campus closings, building emergencies, potentially life-threatening situations on campus, extreme weather conditions, and the activation of emergency response teams. Healthcare access, affordability, and quality will be debated among more than 100 Rochester area residents in a forum hosted by RIT on October 20th. The event is part of a national conversation by PBS titled Dialogues in Democracy 2007, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. RIT President Emeritus Al Simone will moderate an expert panel. The dialogue and results of a survey will be the subject of a national PBS and local WXXI broadcast later this fall. This is Bob Finnerty on the RIT campus.
This is News and Events Managing Editor Vienna Carvalho. In the current issue of News and Events, read about a recent visit from the President of the Dominican Republic. President Fernandez and members of his cabinet came to campus September 28th and discussed wide-ranging partnerships between the Dominican Republic and RIT. Through an educational partnership, RIT has been providing needs assessment, short-term training, research, and consulting support for business and industry, as well as academic programs in the Dominican Republic. Also in this issue, we look at activities taking place within the Albert J. Simone Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. More than $3 million has been raised for the center, named in honor of RIT's recently retired 8th president. The center connects students with Venture Creations, an RIT subsidiary that works with faculty, staff, alumni, and with outside businesses to bring technologies to market. And read about Heath Boyce Pardee, RIT's Associate Vice President of Student Affairs, who has debuted the first of a series of novels he has written with the release of a murder mystery that is set on a college campus. Read more about these stories and other RIT news in the October 4th issue of News and Events. This is Vienna Carvalho.
This has been Dateline, RIT, October 11, 2007. A reminder to tune into our newest podcast series, Studio 86, for in-depth discussions with RIT newsmakers. This week, Dr. Sam McQuaid discusses the Rochester Regional Cyber Safety and Ethics Initiative, which he spearheaded. That's Studio 86, two episodes down on your RSS feed. I'm Mike Safran on the RIT campus.
For more on these stories and other RIT news, visit www.rit.edu/news. Dateline RIT is produced by RIT University News Services.